Well, good evening, everyone. It is now 5:30. It is March the 14th, 5:30 p.m. I want to welcome all of you to this Board of County Commissioners work session. At this time, I'm going to ask all of you to rise for an invocation and a pledge of allegiance. Commissioner Tony Hatch, would you please give us an invocation?
Lord, thank you for another day. We ask that you would open our eyes so that we may hear your voice. Oops. Open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open your spirit so that we may know your leading and guidance. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Commissioner Luis Lopez, would you please lead us on the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Roll call, Mr. Vernon Counts.
Mr. Hess, here. Mr. Pete Lopez,
here.
Mr. Luis,
here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Vernon?
No, Commissioner, no change.
I'll ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
Move for approval of the agenda.
Second.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Pete Lopez?
Yes. Thank you so much, all of you are attending this evening tonight. Before we get onto the topics of the agenda, I want to ask for all of us to introduce. Let's go through the room, and so we know who is here. So, Mr. Howley, let's begin with you, sir.
Pat Howley, on the tour. Love that you guys are taking a leadership role in this.
Thank you.
Jody Amato, Los Angeles County Assessor.
So we go over there.
Carl Davis, concerned citizen.
David Backrack, Trinidad Fire.
Harry Williams, City
County. Aaron Oliver, President of City Trinidad.
Steve Rieger, City Manager, Trinidad.
Karen Grego, City Council, Trinidad.
Ted Grego, Trinidad, River, Missoula, Florida.
Nate Eden, City of Trinidad, Engineering Department.
Paul Chess, City of Trinidad Public Works Director.
Jenny Jackson, Project Manager for the City of Trinidad.
Kenny Gorse, Citizens.
Sophie Nioki, Chair of the Board.
Chair of Back, Chair of Board. Thank you. We're doing introductions and.
I'm Christina Williams, I'm the new Director of Development Services.
Thank you. Welcome. And those, anyone online, introductions. I see Mr. DeAngelis and Robin Sykes from the Health Department.
Hi, Robin Sykes, Los Angeles County Health Department.
Kim Gonzalez, Los Angeles County Health Department.
Mr. DeAngelis might be driving, Chairman. Hey. He was listening in my Zoom. He was out of town a couple minutes this morning. So Mr. DeAngelis, if you can hear us, if you have any comments later when we call you, please feel free. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for being here tonight. The reason for this work session, again, tonight we're going to be opening up a discussion. We're getting so many phone calls as the county commissioners of the county, inquiries, requests, what's going on with Cougar Canyon. So I think rather than us speculating and assuming, this is one of those areas that all of us can come together and begin the conversation. Is this a viable opportunity for us to carry on the project to where it needs to be? And finding out from our county officers where we are, i.e. when it comes to taxes, when it comes to assessment. So the questions just keep getting on, and there is so much interest within the community and from outside of our community as to what do we do with the property? Are we ready to develop? What are going to be the next steps? So part of the whole process is to open up the conversation. And thank you all and for being here tonight. As your Board of County Commissioners, certainly on behalf of all of us at the county, we're interested in finding out and strengthening the partnership that we have had and we must continue to have in order to get this project, if that's the direction of the city and the county to carry on the project. So at this time, as the opening statements went on, I'm going to yield the floor to my fellow county commissioners or any other comments? Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Thank you, Chairman. First off, thank you everybody for being here tonight and taking your time out of your evening. And thank you for putting the work into this. I know I've been in contact with the majority of our county officials for the past couple weeks, but more so than that, the past 7 years regarding Kudu Canyon moving forward. And I know Mr. Just has been in contact in the past couple weeks with our health department as well regarding some of these issues that's on their agenda this evening. So I want to say thank you, number one, for all of that. Our renewal board for being here, and our chairman, Mr. Grego, and our city council members for being here, and Mayor Rico, thank you as well. Our fire department, thank you, Chief, for being here with us for the discussion to improve our public safety later on in the agenda. I want to just give a little background with Kudu Canyon for the county commissionership. When I've been working on this before I come into office since 2017, former Commissioner Anthony Abeda has been working on this as a county commissioner with Donna Leonetti and with the Assessor's Office, Joe Mulatto, and the Clerk of Recorder's Office. And I took over his works when he was no longer in office. I've been working with Ms. Leonetti, and since that time, we have seen this tax base grow from $5 million back 7 years ago, or $6 million, and now we're at $15 million. And when does it end? When do we stop kicking the can down the road? Our school board, our school districts, only school districts, our fire districts have suffered from this. Our city of Trinidad and our Los Angeles County coffers have been dropped because of this. The TIF, the urban renewal funding mechanism, has been decimated from these issues as well. I know it was a bad situation, but how do we resolve it? Where do we go from here? In 2016 and 2017, the county started taking furloughs, started removing employees from early retirement basis. If this revenue was here, even though we had the boost at that time, if it was here, would that needed to occur? No other entities had to take the furlough other than the county, and that was for a multitude of reasons, but if this funding mechanism was in place and the Kudu Canyon was successful, how many employees would have never left the county, would have gained employment during those 3 years, 16, 17, and 18 of furlough hours at early retirement. So those are some of the comments that I'll be I wanted to share with you. We put countless hours into this. And basically, my position here is listening to every entity tonight, see what we have, what tools we have in the toolbox, to work collectively as a community. Because the city-county issue is done. I'm tired of hearing it. How do we get this accomplished together collectively? So that's my opinion. Thank you for my time. I yield.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Harris.
Ditto. Let's get to work.
From the county perspective, we want to provide an opportunity for our county treasurer to speak to us on where the taxes to date stand. So, Ms. Leonetti, if you would please give us that update.
As of today, March 14, 2023, Stone Ridge area in taxes due to Los Angeles County is $15,387,730.88. That includes interest to the end of March. I don't know what else you need to know.
One of the questions that we oftentimes receive, what money the county has in the coffers from the collections, why isn't that money released for the advancement of the Metro Board and so on? And I know you have been in communications with some state representatives, and we want to put all the transparency and all the information that we have within us to the community.
It's my understanding that the Colorado Department of Local Affairs, Stone Ridge R2 Metropolitan District has not filed their 2023 adopted budget with the Division of Local Government. Therefore, they're requesting or telling me that I have to hold their funds in District 2 and the bond in interest. Right now in Stone Ridge District 2, What we're holding to date is $55,762.88, and in the bond and interest for District 2 Stone Ridge, $423,719.54. That cannot be released until they filled out that budget report that they have to send it.
So, I mean, Chairman, to fill out a budget request, that probably needs to come from the Seated Venture Board, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, if that is to occur, is the funds, both pot of funds available to that Metro Board in the adopting a budget, or just the 55,000?
It'd be both. Yes.
So they would have that money available.
They fill out that, yeah.
But I mean, move on. Okay. Thank you, Cindy.
No, Commissioner Harris. And anybody from the audience, if you have any questions as well, please feel free. And the information that we're presenting tonight, you can actually have access to. I don't know if we're going to post that or you can request that through our county administrator, so you don't have to be taking any notes tonight. So thank you, Matt.
And also, I can go make a copy of this for everybody. Did
it? Sounds good. Very good. Appreciate that. The one of the other questions that we have that we would like to address is the assessed valuation when it comes to the mill levy. And for that, we have our county assessor, Ms. Julia Amaro.
Thank you all for coming tonight. I'm hoping someday before I retire, we can get Cougar Canyon ironed out. I am one of the lucky ones to be here from the beginning of Cougar Canyon till now. Sometimes I say I live in Cougar Canyon Elk, but that's okay because I know the good, the bad, and the ugly. As a matter of fact, I always tell my staff, if something happens to me, do not throw this book away. This is the Cougar Canyon Bible, and this was prepared at the beginning when Cougar Canyon was being developed by the developers for the previous assessor. And so this is the where we started and how we got here. Just to piggyback off of what Mrs. Leonetti said, we have been assessing and applying the mill levy for the Metro District. There used to be two Metro Districts in Cougar Canyon and Stone Ridge. That makes up the entirety of the development. There was Stone Ridge Metro 1 and Stone Ridge Metro 2. Stone Ridge Metro 1 was dissolved, I believe by the state of Colorado 3 years ago, or maybe two. But they never had a mill levy applied to that district. Stone Ridge Metro 2 did have a mill levy, 55 mills, which at the time, we were a little shocked as the assessor's office because that was one of the largest mill levies within our county. So we did a little homework, had a little coffee sessions, did a little Q&A with the developers, and the reason they wanted the 55 mills was so they could pay back the bond quicker. Because if you're not familiar with the Metro District, it's set up so as developers are developing the lots and they're getting sold, that development funds gets passed on and gets repaid back. So at that time, the assessor was sitting there, him and the developers were talking. We had deeds that went through that were showing very high sales amounts on these vacant land properties, going from original owner to developer to developer to developer. So at the time, they were legitimate arm's length transactions. Well, then we had the banking institution and all of the issues that transpired with the economy at the time and the bottom fell out. Well, we still had these high values on those lots. Taxes were not being paid. We were sending assessments, we were sending tax bills, taxes were not getting paid. So this progressed for a couple of years. I had a bank over in Raton who had a large chunk of them, came in and we did what we can do through the assessment process, which is abatements. And this was almost 10 years ago. So at that time we sat down, we hired an outside appraiser, we found a market value that was correct. And so we started lowering those values. Where we sit today in Cougar Canyon is an interesting place. In the last 5 years, I have had 3 residential sales. And if anybody is keeping up with real estate, right now the real estate market is hot still, and it has been for the last 2.5 years. To only have 3 in that area when I had over 700 in the city limits of Trinidad was very shocking to me. But as we all know, most of that out there is vacant land that needs to be developed. In the last 5 years, I have had 1 vacant land set, and that is all.
In the Cougar Canyon?
In Cougar Canyon and Stone Ridge. And Stone Ridge is it's part of Cougar Canyon, but it is the large acreage parcels out there. And in Stone Ridge, I have 18 parcels, and those are all 50 to 100 and some acre parcels. I have had developers come and ask me as the assessor for the past 10 years to see if we can put that back to agriculture. I cannot because it is annexed in the city limits of Trinidad. There is a PUD which will not allow ag. And I understand the point of the taxpayer and of those property owners and developers. It is undeveloped ground, it's platted, it's on a recorded plat, but it doesn't have sidewalk, roads, there's no utilities to it. It's just large pieces of property. We have lowered those values in the past couple of years to get them in line. When it comes to the actual developed lots within it, we have them assessed currently, and going forward, it'll probably maintain around $2.61 a square foot, which is pretty comparable with the rest of the city of Trinidad. So if you have a vacant lot out there, your average tax bill that you would have received January 1 of this year would have been $800 on average, more or less. $300 of that tax bill goes to the Metro District. The rest of that is divided between Pony School, Trinidad School, fire departments, Pony Fire, City of Trinidad County. So the majority of that tax bill is going to the Metro District, which Ms. Leonetti, by state decree, essentially, we are holding and sitting on. That is why it's very, very imperative that we get the Metro District seated. We as the county, we have looked at it. We cannot seat it because it is the city limits of Trinidad. So this is a board that needs to be reseated, active. That way we can disperse these funds to the correct entity so we can see some movement.
If there's even a collection of funds, I'm sorry, Chairman, if I may. Ms. Ma, thank you. If there is a need, if there is payment on those, which there hasn't been, number one. Number two, the assessed evaluations have been come down from when they develop and start. So
yes.
I'm assuming that they're inflated to get loans during the process. And I'm going to assume, but I'm going to state it, that they were done so that the developer could borrow more money for the development of the property, which backfired now, and it's hurting us, and thank you for your hard work getting this assessed properly. And our valuations on those lots out there are at the $2.61 a square foot, which is common in the rest of the city limits. My question to you, though, is the comment you mentioned regarding the seating of the board. And we'll have the city have an opportunity to discuss that and where they're at with that. If this continues on this path, and let's just say the last discussion we had with the city was probably a year and a half, 2 years ago on this, right. And I'll ask the city, are they any closer to the support city? But if not, hypothetically, in all actuality, is it possible to unannex Cougar Canyon and the city become the government agency on that property?
Do you mean the city or the county?
The county. The county become the overall government agency on that property to then move forward if, for some reason, the city cannot move forward.
There is a legal process, and it is called exclusion, and it can be done. The city would have to make an exclusion map, and they would have to go through the court process of excluding that subdivision out. We would have court hearings, and I'm not sure if it would have to go to a vote. That's somebody, we'd have to probably seek legal counsel on the city's attorney. But there is there's an annexation process, and there's an exclusion process. And it's in state statute, Colorado Revised Statute. If they were to do that, that would change the city limit boundaries. That would also remove Cougar Canyon and Stone Ridge out of the TURA, out of the Trinidad Urban Renewal Authority. By doing that, by changing the boundaries, just to give you a little history, TURA, the boundaries of our Trinidad Urban Renewal Authority are the entirety of the city limits of Trinidad. At that time, Cougar Canyon was annexed in, was part of, is part of the city limits of Trinidad. if an exclusion process were to take place, that would alter those boundaries of Tura. And that would also alter the new statutes that urban renewal would have to fall under and abide by. And I think those were done in 2014, 2015, somebody can think of 2015, changing the board and things of that nature. But there is that process out there to exclude it and put it back into the county. And at that point, I could actually do a little more, as far as the open acreage of how I could assess it. It would be opened back up. The Stone Ridge area could probably be opened back up to maybe agricultural use if somebody wanted to lease it.
And the plat could change to maybe 5-acre ranches or however something developed.
It could probably be open to some
development. The reason why I asked this question is because there might be something the city can do because of certain legal matter. I wanted to see all of our tools in the toolbox to the members that are here in front of us tonight, and maybe their legal counsel is young and they don't want to move forward. But what's our option as a county?
And I think, Commissioner, the exclusion process would have to be something that would have to be approached by the city of Trinidad.
Okay. And I have another question, but bring Donna back up for a second on activity. Don't go more.
I'm not.
We've done a brain scan. I've got
you
7 years
in the door.
Chairman, if I have some
attitude, thank you. Keep on.
Mrs. Lee and Eddie, you and I have worked on this for quite a while now. Can you give the folks in the room an update on how many recent properties we've acquired and what happened with 2020? What we're going to do with that developer we move forward with
sure.
The ONEs? Yes.
An ONE is an order of encumbrance from a title company. Okay, so Los Angeles County applied for 14 treasure deeds on June 3rd, 2021. The owner redeemed, came back and redeemed the credit certificates out on September the 15th, 2021. This canceled Los Angeles County from receiving ownership. The payment was distributed to all the entities, which was good because there was 14 accounts and that was a big supplement. I don't remember, I had a good deal somewhere.
I think it was $271,000.
Okay. So Los Angeles County applied for 10 new treasure deeds on January the 14th, 2022. On January the 4th, 2023, Los Angeles County received ownership on three of them, and on February the 8th, 2023, Los Angeles County received ownership on seven of them. A public auction may be held in the future to sell these 10 parcels. What happens with, being that there was a certificate and the county got a deed on it, the taxes are wiped out, but now we can move forward if we auction them and sell them and start collecting revenue.
And can the county be an owner of one of those properties that you own now and be a possible member of the Metro Board? I'm trying to check the legal counsel on that.
Yeah, that I do.
But if the county option and bid on one, and the city as well, or any other entity, or the renewal as well, Pat. So that's a possibility that I'm asking. And but more importantly, the tool in this toolbox, this is the Annette's, we can continue to do this at the county level. All it does is cost the county money, to the tune of about $150 every ONE. And then
that was an average of $150. Then there's publication
fees and all that. And then the county can continue to do this all day long. And for what? To sell them to somebody with 55 mills that can't develop it because there's no infrastructure, no sewage, no this, no that, and an eyesore of a local town. So that's what we can use here on our level, just so the room knows. I don't want to use that as an avenue for the county to continue to attain properties if we were county, and we can all come together and figure a way out of this. So the county has taken steps forward with Donna's and Jody's office on getting the assessed valuation down lower. So now when you go to sell it at an auction, it is not going to be sky high on price, correct? It'll be a 261 a square foot average asking price.
But it will get them back on the tax roll and start over with taxes.
Right.
But the main concern that I brought it up to them just to try to do it is to force Cooper Canyon owners to come in and pay us their money so that they would lose their property. And that worked out for the first 14. Because they did come through and redeem and we got our relief bar, but it didn't work for the next 10.
Donna, how long is this process? So we can let everybody know. From our beginning point when we started advertising that we were going to try to.
It takes at least 5.5 to 6 months once you apply for Treasurer Steve, because we have to go through the advertising process, certified letters.
And back then, the gentleman that did redeem the 14 lots from California did ask if he could have the interest and penalties waived. It doesn't work that way in the front. We had to come on the back end and make a request, and that request was denied by the OBCC at that time. So with the consideration of reducing all the old taxes out, there'd be something to be brought forward. I don't know. The special districts would be able to concur with it, the city of Trinidad, the fire districts, moving forward.
And especially the only school.
Especially the only school, which has been adversely affected probably the most.
Right.
The collection of revenues coming in that shows at the state level through the Department of Revenue and all the other entities that cuts back their money because it shows they're getting it and they actually aren't receiving it because it's not distributed to the from the treasurer's office because by state statute, Mrs. Leonetti cannot distribute the bill. So
Ms. Mara, let me Mr. Lauren can pass a question or a comment.
No, just a comment. I want to pass along thanks to city staff because city staff's been real helpful with us in depicting one lots. We should consider selling when we go after those property owners. So thank you.
Right, and they that'll go into a buildable. That we can look for.
Those are the ones that had infrastructure to build a building. They've been extremely helpful with us in picking those lots.
And yeah. I'm going to circle back. Sorry, Commissioner.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to circle back to Commissioner Lopez's, Luis Lopez's comment. As the assessor, I send out abstracts and certifications twice a year, August and December. And I have to send those to all of the entities. And that is all the assessed valuation within those districts. I send it to fire districts, cities, schools, towns. Pony School is a perfect example. They were showing when we sent them their abstracts, they had millions of dollars on their assessed valuation. That when they turned in their budgetary information to the Department of Local Affairs and to the Department of School Finance, it showed that they were going to be very, very well in the black. Well, in reality, they had all this assessed valuation on those assessments and on those abstracts, but the money, the actual tax dollars, were never paid. So the previous superintendent before Mr. DeAngelis, she actually had to go to the state and prove, and she was in my office every quarter to prove to the state she obtained a loan. I'm going to call it a loan at that time. But she had to do her homework and prove to the state that they were not getting that revenue. Even though they had this assessed valuation on their budget, in their assessed valuation, the money was not actually being paid. The taxes were not being paid. So therefore, their school was put in the red. I believe it was a 5 to 7 year process. And they finally were that loan converted into essentially a grant from the state. But they had to prove and show that the valuation was there, but the taxes were not coming in. And same thing happened to fire districts, to any entity that was dependent on that value and the taxes within those districts. And it's been quite a struggle, as Commissioner had mentioned. We were at 30 hours a week, and I lived here 7 days a week just to get my job done. But that's my job.
Not to mention, Assessor Model donated $200 of paycheck back to the county coffers to assist her staff in keeping the job at the time. Another commissioner did the same thing. I forgave the health insurance allowed to county elected officials the tune of $16,000 to help keep the doors open here in Los Angeles County. Would this taxing entity made us whole? Maybe not. But would it have kept us maybe a 10% reduction instead of 20%? Probably. So there's some sacrifices.
So one of the comments that I, after discussion that we have had is, what are going to be the next steps between the city and county because we have, from time to time, we get a phone call, hey, how much is it going to cost for someone to redeem the entire property? Well, we can't. From the county perspective, we can't. We have had at least one or two entities that have reached out to the county and asking us, how much do you need for you to release the lots so we can start building on them? So that's one of the reasons whether the money is there, and by now, who knows? I mean, for the last 12 months, we have had those communications with investors. And if this is something that we are going to do, the county is 100% on board for us to work together. So anything else?
No, I was going to mention we have 252 parcels, and in Cougar Canyon, we have 18 in Stone Ridge. There's 233 vacant parcels or vacant lots out in that development. I have 19 that are approved with either a hotel or a structure or a house on it. We have four large developers. We have one that has 22 lots, one that has 105, one that has 14, and one that has 69 lots. But there is a significant amount of back taxes owed on the majority of those lots. That is why the treasurer and the county commissioners, we are going through and obtaining tax certs. But once we get those tax certs, at the moment, they are taken off the tax roll because they're owned by a government entity. And they'll be put back on once the commissioner decided they can time to hold an auction for those.
And one last comment before we go to the next segment, Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Amato and Ms. Leonetti, for all the hard work you put in. We really appreciate it. This district, the only school district in Ager, are my school districts that I represent as a county commissioner in District 2. So I'm so passionate about this. Fire district as well. Fire chief Backrack was our only fire chief once upon a time as well, and he understands the struggle of the revenue for this area. But it is personal to me. Yes, my children go attend the home school, and one's graduating this year, and I have one that's a sophomore. And those other children that are out there, a lot of them come from the city of Trinidad. They live in Trinidad, so why should they go without some of that revenue for their services that the school district could allow them? So thank you, thank you, Ms. Marlowe.
You're welcome. Before I sit down, is there any questions from the audience?
Yeah, I was going to ask, there's a man.
Please.
So certainly, I like this was called a hybrid work session because it's going to take a hybrid kind of solution. So there's a lot of different entities. Could instead of the city doing an exclusion of the whole Cougar Canyon, is it possible to do an exclusion of that portion that's non-developable? And then the city retains, and Tura retains, the boundaries that encompass the developable property, and then use TIF in some way to help make people whole once they're developing, because then we'll have TIF there. And keep some of the entities still at the table that are there. So move the areas that are more agricultural still space there, and let a developer in the future have a problem. But it seems like this is 15 years of pain for a lot of our entities, and it's continuing. So is that a possibility?
That would have to be asked to legal counsel.
Okay.
The knowledge I have with annexation and exclusions, I believe it's an all or nothing approach.
Okay.
But that is somebody that would, a legal advisor would be able to tell you better specifics of what can be done.
Because certainly Tura could do more in an area like that as an urban renewal area. The authority can create a different area out there in order to help folks and bring those tools that Tura does have. Bonds, again, the financial markets one day will be back.
See, and part of the meeting tonight is exactly to do what we're doing here is what are the possibilities? We can begin to ask through our legal connections through the counties and, of course, the city would join in doing the same thing. So I think the possibilities, the conversation is here. Let's see where we take us. Like anything else for
Jody?
Yes.
I was under the impression if we annex property into the city, that like Holy Fire Protection was not getting that tax for that property at that point, unless it's annexed in, because Trinidad Fire is covering that fire protection.
I believe that is correct.
Okay.
So then the ambulance district would be the one missing out there.
Yes, it, okay. I can even actually tell you the entities that are in this area. So we have City of Trinidad, the ambulance district, of course the Metro district. We have the Spanish Peaks Purgatory River Conservation District, the Purgatory River Water Conservation District, and the Homey School District.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joey. Commissioner Hess, anything else?
Elaborate a little bit about what we were talking about, setting 15 units aside to make possibly these special districts whole.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, based on your leadership that the county's doing, I think there's an opportunity to continue going through and finding the stakeholders that are there. And there are stakeholders out there that are on the private market side. So we're kind of talking with all the public entities, but there's a private market side. And see if we can encourage any of the folks on the private market side to do a set aside of land that they have. And instead of always asking for forgiveness of money's owed, bring something to the table that can actually be sold into the future. And so go to the developers of there, have them almost create a land bank for lack of a better word. And so they create a land bank that in, through the assessor's office is an equal value to the dollars owed to the entities that haven't been paid over this period of time. Now you've got development moving again, you've got money flowing again, and you have a land bank that now the entities, only school district, the fire district, metro districts, now they have an asset, they've traded an asset for a potential asset they can now take into the open market, and now there is a market that can play in roles. I think there's an opportunity if we can get those folks also at the table to talk about what they can bring when we're making stone soup, right? The old stone soup legend. And everybody has to bring something. And if they're just, if they bring a little meat and vegetables, it would really help make the stew a little bit better.
Well, so that's the thought. But to remind everybody, the letter that we've received from the 12 Department of Local Affairs, none of that money can be released until a Metro Board is seated and the budget is presented.
So you do it in phase steps, right? Do it in steps, but you make a comprehensive plan ahead of time that then now inspires or encourages people to take those steps. Thank you, Dr. Fenton.
At this point in time on the agenda, let me invite Mayor of Trinidad, Phil Rico. Welcome, Mayor.
Welcome.
Chairman Lopez, Mr. Lopez, Mr. Travis, thank you for inviting us to this meeting today and this year. And, you know, one of the things I just wanted to mention right off the bat, and there's a few things that there's uncovered. We were caught off guard. The agenda we had originally was said Hurricane. There were no specifics. We got the specifics, I believe, either late earlier today or yesterday, I'm not sure. And I wish we would have that information earlier because we could have probably scheduled something in, you know, earlier in the work session ourselves to go over all these individual items. So I think that would have been very, very important. And we, you know, I took my seat in 2016, and I knew about all the issues, many of the issues even before that, because I was on the world or prior to that. So I understood that this, that Cooter Canyon has been a mess. It's a quagmire. There's so many different issues that are out there. And when I took my seat in 2016, of course, as mayor, I started delving into it more and more and more. And we've taken different approaches. Our attorneys, as a matter of fact, about a year and a half ago, we hired an outside attorney other than our own attorney. And what I want to say this, because of that conversation with that attorney, we're advised that this is a lot of this stuff is legal issues that we'll have to get into. So we really are here tonight more to listen to what you have to say and any comments that the people in the audience are here to say. But we are here more because we don't have any additional information to give to you tonight other than listening to you. So we're basing that on attorney-client privilege. And that's the reason that we're advised to do that tonight. But we'll offer this to you in order to take care of some of these issues, because there's legal issues within all of this stuff. Is that we would like to talk to our city manager earlier, and what we'd like to do is set up probably a work session and probably a regular meeting, but have an executive session with the county commissioners. And I'm not sure if we have this estimate or anybody else involved as well. But we, so then we can sit down and try to figure out steps to take forward. You know, what can we do? What will we do? And those are really, really important issues. We understand that something has to get done. And in order to do that, I think we need to tackle these legal issues by hearing. So there's legal issues that you want to brought. So I think these are all things that we need to really, really discuss. We've got to be very careful as to giving information out to the public that may be taken out of context through the newspapers or whatever, because we know that does happen. So, like I said, you know, there were some items on this agenda that really kind of struck me when I pulled out the agenda today. Was the item three was infrastructure, curb, gutter, asphalt, sewage, electrical, public safety, the hotel, and Tura. Those items there were kind of, I saw those and I thought, you know, why do these get into this meeting tonight? So like I said, I think the best way to handle this is we sit down in an executive session as both entities and try to figure out how do we move forward. Then we come forward with to the public and say, this is how we're going to move forward together.
And Mr. Mayor, part of the agenda, this is, as you know, work sessions are conversations. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be taking any action here tonight. We're not going to be making any decisions. But one of the things that we felt that it was imperative and important, because the questions are coming to us. So this is a conversation starter, not necessarily I got you kind of a thing. That's never going to be the intent of these Board of County Commissioners. And the communication, the direction that we gave Mr. Doran County is basically back and forth with the city manager. Certainly, if there is an oversight on this particular agenda, is probably just that. But let's begin the conversation, because these things need to be addressed, maybe not here tonight. And then I think we accept the invitation as far as getting together with an additional work session, so we can really get into, do a deep dive onto item by item. And I think that's exactly what we need to do.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Thank you for coming in. And as far as the agenda and the discussion, a lot of these items are something that I've worked on over the past, six, 8 months now, trying to formulate what we're going to do next time we had a discussion, because these same questions, same topics, will be discussed a year and a half ago. So, Metro Board, that's the same thing we talked about with the city and the county a year and a half ago. Maybe that's something to go back to the city council, and then we can have an answer of what the city wants to do moving forward, or what they don't want it, or what they can't. And that's why I brought that on here. The bond company is another issue on the agenda, where we're having a discussion with the bond company for the city, will they discuss it with you at all? Do they need to have a Metro Board with it, so all they'll discuss it with? The infrastructure side of things, was the reason for that was, and the electrical and the right of way was my thought process. If we were to do a reverse annexation, what's the term?
An exclusion.
An exclusion. Would the city allow the county, if that was to occur, the right of way to utilize, and how would that work for the infrastructure and utilities moving forward? So those questions. The sewage is a big one that we're going to talk to the health department here in a minute on that, with that lift station that's out there. So those are the purposes of that. But again, I hate to be frank to city council, and if I'm coming across as rude, we've had this discussion, and most of you are on that board, and we're still in the same place. So let's get started. Let's do something now. $15.3 million to our taxing districts. They deserve better than that, all of us.
Well, we understand that, you know, there's, you know, everything on here is under the our jurisdiction. That's, I don't understand what you can say there, what you're saying. And that's why I said we decided today when I was talking to Mr. Ruder to say, let's invite you to a session that we can bring out the legal issues that are pending in this.
So that we gotta be sure. Can we have an executive session with the city and the county together? Is that legal?
Sure it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We can always invite anybody you want into an executive session. We do that all the time.
We'll definitely override.
And like I said, you know, I understand that, you know, there's, matter of fact, there's also coming up the stairs this evening. A lady came me up and said, I understand there's going to be discussion on Cobra Canyon. Hope you guys can do something about it. So, you know, you're not the only one that are getting it all the time. Everyone, your city council, that person that's here tonight,
We get questions on these all the time.
So you and I spoke about the financial side, and I think it was mentioned at the roundtable. The question was asked to the mayor, Cougar Canyon, and the comment was it's a nightmare. You said this in open session, so I'll repeat it. The sum of $200,000 possibly in legal fees. So when that is said in open session, the comments have come back to me. During that same question answer period, Mayor, there was a question regarding exit 14, and the city had secured $1 million to possibly purchase J&J Motors and the Abell station for Poplar Wetland Motor Station. So what comes back on the county commissioners is, why don't you talk to the city instead of spending $200,000 legal fee or $1 million and buying a property? They use it for this. And I said, well, you go to city council, you ask them. I can't answer on their behalf. But that's what we especially when it comes out in an open session like that. And maybe they are right. Maybe city council or county together collectively, we figure this out legally and the expenses on it, and exactly in an executive session. Do we have funding for it at county level? We can look into it. There is some reserve funds that we kept under all hazard funds. Is this a hazard? You bet you it's a dilapidated hotel. That is 100% a hazard. So we have that line item in our budget. I don't know what our purview of our budget, that our finance director and the community would allow us to use some, but I think so at this point in time, there is some options.
But I think it's going to be working together to get this whole thing resolved, because that does involve the city, the county, all the special districts that are out there, and especially the homeless folks.
And I think, you know, part of the conversation, Mayor, is what is the most immediate next step? That's what we need to identify, right? And then we'll know what the next step after that is going to be. If we are going to forget about the whole thing that we ever had the Metro District installed, well, all the research and through Colorado counties, one of the things that I have done is reached out. And one of the first steps, to my not knowledge, but the advice that we're getting is the Metro District Board has to be in place if anything is going to take place. So again, these conversations, and one of the reasons that we also, from the county perspective, if we were to retain one or two pieces of property out there, can the county now have an assigned seat on that board? We don't know that yet. So, you know, in open conversation, we're having all disclosure and transparency because it is to the best of our constituents, our community, to find a solution and a resolution to the whole thing. And I tell you, for the perspective, I just want all of us to understand that your county commissioners, this board of county commissioners, we are at the table 100%. So whatever research, and again, we'll go back through the advice of council, we'll see what the next step is going to be. So
like step number one, I guess, let's get together.
Sounds good.
Let's have that executive session.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you so much.
Any questions from clients?
I want to invite Dave from Fire. Any updates? Any comments?
I don't know about the
thing. You want to put a fire out?
There's a fire. We're going to put it out. This is what it is.
Well, the reason I think it's public safety section of the agenda, and I did help department with the informative
sure.
On that.
Do we have anyone, Ms. Sykes from the San Luis County Health Department? Ms. Gonzalez, anyone?
We were just here in attendance, maybe to discuss any future plans for, you know, whether some of these lots were going to potentially go to septic or something like that, those types of issues. That was really my purpose for being on here. I think that was our goal. So,
okay, well, I have a couple of questions.
Please.
Thank you, besides for being here. So, on the septic systems, what's the property size needed to have a licensed septic system in Los Angeles County?
So the minimum lot size to install a septic system is 1/2 acre. So about 23,000 square feet.
But is that also allowable to the city of Trinidad building code?
No.
Should we have anybody that can answer that question? They're allowed in the city of Trinidad because we're already about their long septic system. But I have 2.5 acres.
And it might be subject to the to the annexation process, to the PUD. Right. So that would probably be that.
Other question I have out there is Ms. Sykes is the lift station that's out there. It is not operational, correct? And I think you guys looked into that this past couple weeks.
That is correct. We did look at that. There are some dwellings that flow into that lift station, but there were never any pumps equipped in that lift station. So at this point, it has to be pumped manually. There are, like I said, I don't know how many houses. I'm not really privy to that information, but I was told that there are some houses that flow into that, and then periodically that has to be manually pumped by, I think, the pump truck at the city sewer plant, I believe.
One more question, Chairman. Last question for you I have is regarding the public safety issue of the abandoned hotel and what health risk that poses to public health, if any, from black mold to possible fire to whatever else is under your purview.
I haven't been to the structures myself, so I can't really speak to those issues. We don't really deal specifically with black mold. That's an indoor air issue that typically goes to the state level. But as far as the structures not being stable, obviously that would be a concern. But like I said, I haven't personally been there or up close to them. I've just driven by, so I can't really speak to that.
Thank you, Ms. Hess.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner Hess. Any other questions? I don't know if I think we pretty much addressed what the Tura opportunities could be. At this point in time, I think since pretty much this covers the agenda.
Mr. Grego, do you have any comments in regards to Tura? Please come share your insight.
Questions maybe for me, comments as well, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, please, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity for providing this to the community to speak about that. There's a possibility somewhere down the road that sort of could be involved with this. In the meantime, I guess the big question is, and there seems to be a catalyst all the time for what could be with Cougar Canyon. Number one on that list is the ever increasing amount of taxes. That is one that has to be, that's never going to go, whatever that's going to be, whether that be city, the county, that's still going to have to be addressed. The ad valorem taxes and involved, it's going to be a matter to be addressed. So I'm saying this from the perspective of how and where it gets to TURA as a part of the equation. I don't believe TURA would be the full problems, solution to the problem. Those taxes are number one, and I think the other thing that is a catalyst for conversations is just the hotel that people see, which is light, honestly, is black. So that's one of the other things that is always the starter for the cause of concern. So those are out there, it's a matter of getting it to an attorney or attorneys. I think if we're looking to create a roadmap for this, I think one of the things would have to be the involvement of attorneys that are specializing in the field, which a lot of them will get once in condemnation or whatever it's going to be. Because that's one of the components here. The beginning of it all is going to have to be some legal advice from attorneys that are specialists in that field, whether it ends up in the end to be an exclusion of that parcel of land from the city limits, which ultimately that will affect the final urban renewal plan in 2015 with the state of Colorado and local affairs. It will ultimately affect that plan, and it will probably trigger the urban renewal authority to be compliant with House Bill 1340 adopted in 2015 and went into effect January 1st, 2060. That will probably be the case, and you know, that doesn't make any difference for the renewal authority, but after why would the class no matter what it is. But I think before wherever it's going to go, there's going to have to be some pretty intense and in-depth legal study on it by attorneys in dedicated to the field.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Drago, could you please advise the panel of people in the room here? The process of condemnation and the money attached to that, if that tool is utilized at the movement?
Well,
after legal advice and all that.
Oh, yeah, well, condemnation basically follows the same route as it was referred to in state statute. It's going to follow the same path as whatever you go in. You have to go through all those same kind of processes. The way that require in land grabbing, whatever you call it, you have to still adhere to whatever state statutes are. If you look in there, when you go through condemnation, you just refers to going to the same applicable statute to the way, if I'm correct. So, you know, it's a detailed process. It isn't just going and say, well, you know, it's something that we're going to go after, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen that way, it's going to have to be. But it does still recognize the landowners. So it's a matter of where do the ad valorem taxes go? Are they going to be collected? Can they be collected? What's going to happen? Yeah, there's a lot of affected entities with the ad valorem taxes that have accrued and not been paid. I don't know if it's still to be paid, so I don't know what it is. You see, TURA, and I guess I might have wandered off the path, but you know, if there's a place, TURA probably is there. It is a company, I don't think we were staff. We, you know, it's been mentioned to the attorney that we now retain for urban renewal business. And it can be, but there's a lot of role in initiating that with obviously affect the clock, the time clock and fees. So it's a matter of everybody else coming together and creating that before it goes down or up to us.
Thank you
for that,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gregor. Anybody else from the audience with any questions, any comments? Councilwoman?
Yeah. They can be heard on the recording, Councilwoman.
Welcome, Councilwoman.
Thank you. I tend to think of these things much more globally than the specifics. And what I'm struck with tonight is that it doesn't seem like we have a sense of where we're headed with this. What is out there right now is a decrepit hotel and broken down buildings and roads that are somewhat completed and some of the infrastructure has been done and some not. That was all part of a plan that was what Coupang was intended to be. And it seems like a productive conversation that could happen between the city and the county is, what do we want out of this? Where are we headed with this? Yes, addressing the taxes is a good thing. And yes, I understand that the county wants the taxes and we all want the school districts to be well funded and all of that, but where are we going with it? Is it just to put it back together what it was? Because that's not possible. There's no golf course, there's no amenities that were planned. So I think it would be really helpful if we could have that conversation.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Gabrielson?
I just wanted to say thank you very much. I appreciate the efforts that the county commissioners have taken, as well as city council, to try to solve a problem. It's a challenge. The one thing I ask you all to remember, and I understand when everyone says Cougar Canyon, they think of this large failed development, they think of a rundown hotel. Jody could give the specifics, but there's about 15 property owners out there.
Correct.
That are paying taxes,
yes.
That have homes, some of the next to decrepit hotels that are falling down. I applaud your efforts. I'm ecstatic that the community at large is trying to tackle this challenge that you were given, saying the city council. But there's a few property owners out there, you know, that are contributing.
And that's why we want to try to clean it up. Your property values will increase. Our taxes, that no offense, your taxes will go up. We'll have more revenue come in. That's her fault. Exactly that. Well, I drove out there today and I saw. It took us another thought in my mind and a screenshot in my brain of these property owners and the values that they could be having and possibly of other revenues that they could have as borrowing against their homes for increased values, you know, and they can't because it's a statement right now. And if you notice, the $2.61 a square foot has been decreasing because of a lot of this. So, but no, we're here and it's now, it's time. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree. Something needs to be done. Thank you.
Thank you. And Councilwoman Ogletree, thank you so much for that. I really believe that we're speaking the same language. I think we're all on the same pathway. We understand that something has to happen. And, you know, back to the question of how do we get there? And then for our assessor, and can we designate the property for different purposes. And those are the conversations that we're looking forward to having. So on that note, we want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight and really appreciate this open dialogue, and that's all it is. So having said all that, commissioners, any other business? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Reese,
yes.
Commissioner Mendez.
Yes. Yes, thank you all.